lives will not be the same. We just want to be stronger. We just want to possess all our possessions in God. So, Lord, make a path, make a way through the preaching of your word. We come against every spirit that is contrary to your spirit. May we not be hindered in any form, in any shape. Bless us. In mighty name we pray. Amen. Then I want to share with you one of the most powerful weapons in spiritual warfare. It is a weapon that is powerful, yet it doesn't cost you anything. Usually, if you know anything about warfare, those in the physical warfare will tell you that the more powerful the weapon is, the more expensive it is. But this weapon, as powerful as it is, still costs nothing. It is also interesting to note that it's a weapon that originates not from God, and yet it works. It is a weapon that originates not from you, and yet it works. What I want to share with you this morning is a very special strategy of winning any war that comes against you. It is simply returning to sender. Whatever is sent your way to do you harm, you just simply pack it up and send it to whoever sent it. It's simple, but it's powerful. Nothing can be simpler. Nothing can be more logical than what we are looking at this morning. Unfortunately, this is one of the warfare strategies that well-meaning Christians fight against. Their fight is usually based on a misinterpretation of the words of Jesus in the books of Matthew and Luke. So even before I tell you about this weapon, I need to disabuse your minds of some of the things you probably have heard from people about how wrong and inappropriate this warfare strategy is. So what I want to do is take you to the scriptures that people misunderstand and misinterpret, and then take you to scriptures to back up what I have to say to you. So let's begin in the book of Matthew, which is the first scripture that is not that understood. And then we'll look in the book of Luke also. Matthew chapter 5. I want to read verse 10 and verse 11. Matthew 5, 10 and 11. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now this is one scripture that they use. And a lack of understanding of this scripture makes people to say it's wrong to pray some of the prayers we pray in warfare. They look at these scriptures and they say it's even wrong for someone to send a curse to you and then you send it back to them. Now let me say a few things as I try to explain what the scripture is saying and what the scripture is not saying. Number one, when Jesus spoke these words, he wasn't speaking about spiritual warfare. Mm-mm. Rather, he was talking about persecution. How many of you have ever been persecuted? Let me see your hand up. If you're a real Christian, you should have been persecuted. Because if you stand for God on your job, you stand for God in your family, you stand for God where sinners are, even where saints are, you are likely to come under persecution. And that's exactly what Jesus was talking about here. There is a fine line between the persecution for righteousness and spiritual warfare. You don't even have to be righteous to be persecuted, all right? You can be a sinner and people can just hate you for whatever reason, all right? But here the Lord is not talking about spiritual warfare. Rather, he's talking about the persecution of those people that are righteous, that are living for God, that are holy, that are upholding purity, and that are upholding righteousness, that refuse to compromise. He said to them, you will be persecuted.
The second thing I'd like to draw your attention to here is this. In most cases, the weapons that are used in persecution are natural weapons, not spiritual weapons. What do I mean by natural weapons? Look at what he says in verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall, what? Revile you. That is a natural weapon. And persecute you. Now look at another weapon they use. And shall say with their mouth all manner of what? Evil against you falsely for my name's sake. So it's obvious that he wasn't talking about spiritual warfare. He was talking about persecution. And you and I have been here. If you're a Christian, people will say all kinds of evil about you. People will lie against you. People will say you said what you never said. People will say you did what you never did. People will say you promoted and supported what you never supported. That is persecution that every Christian must go through. If you are a child of God and you are living for God, you should expect to be persecuted in this manner. What should be our reaction? The Bible says in the very next verse, verse 12, it says what? Rejoice. Our reaction to that type of injustice, according to Jesus, is to rejoice and be exceeding glad, because your reward is great in heaven when people treat you like this for righteousness' sake. You know what is so unfortunate is that many have misunderstood this scripture and apply what is meant for persecution to spiritual warfare. The enemy comes against you and throws a curse at you, or a jinx at you, and a hex at you. And you know what people tell us? They say, don't pray. Don't pray. I bind you. I send it back to sender. They said, just rejoice. Rejoice. And jump for joy. And be exceeding glad. I say, is that right? So they throw a curse against somebody and he has a stroke. And then we go to him and we say, don't pray, just jump up and rejoice. And he says, I'm a little bit crippled. I can't even jump to rejoice. And I would say, you just tried. The Bible says, when they persecute you for righteousness' sake and they speak against you falsely, just rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Now, when you teach people like that, you've misapplied what is supposed to be for persecution to what? Spiritual warfare. And if you do that, what you do is you allow the enemy to move unchallenged in your life. You allow the enemy to take advantage of your misunderstanding of the scripture. So get it clear, this scripture is not talking about spiritual warfare. It's talking about the persecution that we go through. But the other scripture is even more serious than this. And that's the book of Luke, chapter 6, in verse 27, verse 28, all the way through to verse 31. Luke 6, 27 through 31. But I say unto you, which hear, and I want you to listen to this very closely, because this is used even more than the one in Matthew. I say unto you, which do hear, all right? Love your enemies. So they say, love all witches, love all wizards. After they kill your wife or they kill your husband and they kill your children, still love them. Do good to them that hate you. In other words, after they've done the destruction they want to do, invite them in for dinner and take them out for lunch and let them poison your food more. You see, because the Bible says, love your enemies and do good to them which hate you. Now verse 28, bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give unto every man that asketh of thee. And of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you will that men shall do to you, do ye also to them likewise. What is that talking about? Look, the greatest mistake you can make is to apply this scripture to spiritual warfare. This is talking exactly what Jesus said in the book of Matthew. This is just an amplified text of what Jesus said in the book of Matthew. This is what our reaction shall be to those who persecute us. Those who persecute us, for the most part, now mark my choice of words, for the most part use natural weapons to fight us. That is our lot as Christians. Now, to erroneously use this scripture and say, well, if people fight you spiritually, Jesus, the way Jesus wants you to respond, you are going to kill somebody before you realize it. I'll give you an example. God speaks to you in a dream, and someone comes to you and threatens you in a dream and says, we will deal with you. Now, when you wake up, what do? You go to that person and shake his hand and give him a hug and say, I'm expecting the deal. And then before long, your spouse falls down and dies. And then he comes back to you that same night your spouse dies. And he says, we told you that we will deal with you. Wait and see. On the day of the funeral of your spouse, your first child collapses and ends up in the emergency. And then you have another dream. The same person comes to you and he says, you know what? We got your spouse. We got your child. We are not done yet. Then you sit down there and you quote Luke 6:29. And you say, unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy husband, give him thy first child also. And him that taketh away your business, give him your paycheck also. He says he's coming back. That's okay. After all, the Bible says in verse 30, give unto every man that asketh thee. They ask for your spouse, they got it. They ask for your child, they got it. They ask for your job, they got it. And of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. They say, I'm expecting the next thing that they will do to me. Because Jesus Christ said, this is the way we are supposed to react. Some others will even tell you, according to verse 28, bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. And I say to them, that is still persecution. Have you ever been cursed out? They call you every name but a child of God. F word, S word, G word, WXYZ. Now they say all these things against us as believers. What are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to curse them back? F word, S word, G word, WXYZ, spell backwards. No. As a child of God, you don't fight them. You don't do an eye for an eye. They curse you out. You don't curse them back. But when they take it a step further and connive with the gates of hell, all right, to curse you, then they have raised the persecution to a higher level. And the curses, they have gone from the natural to the supernatural. So what is your own reaction? You also have no choice but to raise your own defenses to another level and raise your own prayers to another level to be able to counteract what they do and say against you. So when Jesus talks here, brothers and sisters, he was not talking about spiritual warfare. He was talking about the daily persecution that we go through. In fact, the very last statement in that verse puts the argument to rest. Look at verse 31. And as ye would that men should do to you, what does he say? Do ye also to them likewise. That couldn't ever apply to spiritual warfare. You know why I know that? That statement alone simply says, whatsoever you want men to do to you, do to them. He was talking to these people here, all right, who supposedly have a relationship with him. So he's saying to them, whatsoever you want, let me use this as an example if you don't mind, brother. Whatsoever I want chairman to do to me is what I as a Christian should do to him. All right. In other words, I will do it first and expect him to do it back to me. So if he was talking about spiritual warfare, Jesus could never have told the apostles and those who knew the Lord around him and say, as I want him to do to me, so I do to him. And so if I want him to send witchcraft curses to me, then I send witchcraft curses to him, or I send voodoo curses to him. He wasn't talking about that. He was simply talking, if I don't expect him to talk behind my back, then I shouldn't talk behind his back. If I don't expect him to lie against me, I shouldn't lie against him. But then if Jesus looks at a Christian and applies this to spiritual warfare, then he will be contradicting what he expects of Christians. Am I making sense this morning? Even their very argument, don't go yet. Even their very argument I can use against them. Because if I'm going to go by this verse, then what I'm teaching this morning about returning stuff back to sender is absolutely scriptural. You know why I said that? He said in this verse, as ye would that men should do to you, do also to them. So if chairman would send me a curse, Jesus said, is the light coming on now? Jesus said, as chairman would that I do to him, is what he should do. So if he sends me a curse, he should expect a curse. Isn't that right? If he sends me a voodoo attack, he should expect a voodoo attack. So what I am simply saying with this teaching on returning to sender is not even you who has to originate the curse. You don't know how to do it, do you? Okay, I just want to be sure so that, because you never know. You don't know how to send curses. You don't put black and white together and tie them together and offer sacrifices and kill dogs or shed blood and put some concussions and incantations together. You don't do that. But if everyone will obey this scripture, the world will be better. It says exactly the way you want others to do to you, that's exactly what you should do to them. So if somebody now sends me a curse, all right, and I'm to obey the words of Jesus, whether spiritual warfare or persecution, then what should I do? Pack it up and say, sir, this is what you sent. Take it back. If you believe that with me, say amen. Amen. Now, listen to this. When people use these scriptures to go against what we teach on returning things to sender, I laugh. Because those who send curses and attack people will tell you this, that if you make a mistake and send a curse to someone who is stronger than you, all right, in all likelihood, the curse will turn around. But because it must do what it is sent out to do to somebody, it either affects the person it is sent to or it turns around and affects somebody else. But since it wasn't sent to somebody else, when you sent it, you said, I send this curse to James. So-and-so, born on so-and-so, to so-and-so. Very specific description. And there's an evil spirit that accompanies the curse. So when it gets to James, and James look at it and he says, return to sender, my friend. Now, it doesn't go back to Jimmy. It doesn't go back to Janet. It doesn't go back to whoever. It goes back to whoever sends it. And it goes to afflict them because they are the one that said it. So as ye would, look, if anyone conspires with the gates of hell against my life, if anyone conspires with the gates of hell against my destiny and sends me an arrow, look, I have every right to send it back to them and say, I don't want it. Oh, you say, but that is wrong. You are cursing them. I am not cursing them. They are the ones cursing themselves. You know why? There is a great deal of difference between originating a curse and sending back a curse to the originator. Maybe I should repeat that. There is a great difference between originating a curse and sending back a curse to the originator. The example I always give here is very simple. Even a kindergartner can understand it. If someone sends you a package in the mail, all right, and puts inside the package a rattlesnake, a cobra, a copperhead, and 10 scorpions, and it describes it on the package, inside this package are the following: a rattlesnake, a cobra, a copperhead, and 10 Arizona scorpions, and it puts your name on it. And the mailman who delivers snow or shine rain or sun, walks to your doorstep and say, Mr. Christian, I have this package here. And you can hear the rattling. Can I say something to you? Everything is not always like it looks. Now, when I pulled this thing up, all of you thought this thing was inside this. But there are a lot of packages that include things that are not meant for you. And so they decorate it, they make it look so nice. And then you get it, but you have eyes to see. And then as you get the package, you say, hold on, Mr. Millman. Rattlesnake, cobra, copperhead, thank you. And 10 scorpions. Don't forget the 10. 10 Arizona scorpions. Now, ladies and gentlemen, will you call me for counsel on what to do? No, let's be honest with ourselves. Will you say, let me go and seek for counseling on what to do? Or let me pray about this. Let me fast for 7 days to know what to do about this. No. If you are the nice guy that I know you are, and you don't like trouble, because I know you will have called the police, but because you are so nice and you don't want any trouble, what do you say? You take your pen and you do the arrow back to him. And you say, mailman, please, undeliverable, undeliverable. Everybody say, undeliverable. Undeliverable. Please return to sender. Isn't that what a normal person will do? Isn't that what you will do if you got such a package in your mail? So how can you tell me that preaching and teaching and admonishing people to return evil back to the owner is wrong? You are not the one sending the evil. They are the one who sent the evil. What you simply did was what? Send the evil back. And that's why I told you, this doesn't cost you a thing. Hallelujah. This is not even a warfare strategy that is from God or from man. This is a warfare strategy that they originate, and you use it, you turn the plate around and use it against them, and you say, take it back, 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 take it back. And when they take it back, now listen. Because some people come again and they say, hey, the Bible says, bless them that curse you and pray for them that despitefully use you. When you send it back to them, are you blessing them? I say, yes. Do you know the greatest blessing you can give to them? Really? You may not realize this, but it's a great blessing to take that thing that they sent to you and send it back to them. Listen now. Because when the thing gets to them and the scorpion strikes them and the copperhead coppers their head and the rattlesnake rattles them, let me tell you something, they end up in the hospital, all right? Because this is America, they may survive it, all right? They end up in the hospital and they get treated for the wound and they come back home. Next time, everybody say next time. See, when you use this method, you deliver yourself and a lot of people from trouble. Because next time now, when they want to do the same thing, they think twice. They say, the last time I did it, I knew exactly what happened to me. And I'm not going to mess with this man or any man any longer. Tell me, is that a blessing or a curse? To me, I think that is a great, great blessing. There was a friend of mine. He's still alive. He's a pastor. Pastor's in a small village in Africa. And he got to that town and just turned the whole place upside down, literally, for God. And he got in trouble with those who worship a deity that is called Masquerade, because some of their people got converted, their lives were changed, and on days, there were days when they will put the whole town under curfew. The whole town under curfew. And they say, nobody must turn on light tonight. Some of you from Africa, you know exactly what I'm talking about. This is, no light must be turned on. Everybody must sleep inside darkness tonight. And nobody must come out after dark until morning light. And this pastor said, how can I, a child of God, subscribe to the rules of darkness? So the day they made that rule, there was no electricity, unfortunately. So everybody was on automatic darkness. You know what this man did? He went and bought candles and bought what we call in Africa lanterns. And he put kerosene in them and lit up his whole house. When these people came by his house at midnight, they called him by name. And they say, how dare you? We will teach you a lesson. And he, on his bed,
smiled and said, "And I will teach you a lesson too. Because I'm a child of the living God, and no weapon that is formed against me is able to prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against me in judgment, I shall condemn. I will teach you a lesson." This is power against power. And they went, did their thing, and everybody said, in the morning, everybody came to me and said, "Pastor, what is wrong in turning off light just for one night? These people are not asking for 5 nights or 20 nights, just one night. Why didn't you turn off your light and let them do their thing?" And I said, "No, light has never bowed down to darkness, and I will not be the one to bow down." Anyway, to cut a long story short, 3 days after this incident happened, here came this demonic personality. Now, those you have to come from Africa to understand this. All right. This demonic personality came. It's made out of mud. It's made out of mud. It's not human, but it looks like human. And this demonic personality just showed up in his house. He doesn't talk. He doesn't hear, "I beg you, I beg you, I beg you." All he knows is to deliver the message. He was sent by the worshippers of the masquerade. And the message was very simple. Beat him till he dies. And they've killed so many people with this kind of attack. And many of you from Africa, you understand exactly what I'm talking about. He came into his, you don't need a door, you don't need a window, and come through the walls because it's a spirit. Came through the walls, this is how it moves. I can't even move like it moves because it glides. That's how it sounds. Now when someone goes around and says, he doesn't hear good morning, he doesn't hear good evening, he doesn't. And so as he walked into the house of my friend, had a stick in his hand, and he's beaten so many people to death. And he was next. The pastor looked at it and said, "Which one is?" He said, "These people, they even have no sense. They want to send something against me. They send something that he cannot talk. They send something that cannot hear. They send something that has no blood, no flesh, and something that I can see." So the pastor said, "How do I deal with this?" And it was coming closer with a stick in hand. The pastor looked at it and said, "If I throw water on this thing, it will not work. If I kick it, I will break my leg. There's only one thing I have, and that is the power of my words." Hallelujah. Look, let me tell you something. Doctor, there's authority in your mouth. You hear me? Use it more, all right? The same authority that brought the world into being. Let there be light. And there was light. Let there be a division between this and that, and there was. Let this happen, and it happened. Let that happen, and it happened. You know, I plead with you this week. Let this week be a week in your life where you use the authority that God has invested in you as a believer to command things to come to pass, and they will come to pass, to command things to stop, and they will stop. Wasn't that what the man of God did in the book of Joshua? "Son, stop! I got business to do for God." Look, if God is connected to it, if the glory of God is connected to it, if you speak it, God will back you up. You didn't hear what I said. I said if God is connected to it, and the glory of God is connected to it, if you speak it, God will back you up. And so he looked at it. He said, "This is the last time you will see your He looked at that demonic thing, and he says, "Number one, stop where you are in Jesus' name." Amen. Look, just put Jesus' name to it. Don't put Bishop Oluo. Because it's funny when I hear people pray, "Oh, God of Bishop Oluo, take my name out of it. Take my name completely out of it." Jesus is the name. And at the name of Jesus, you know what happens? Every knee shall bow. So he looked at it and he said, "Stop in Jesus' name." And the thing froze. The thing froze. And he said, "Say, shut up. In Jesus' name." And the mouth froze. When my children were younger, we used to play a game in my house where you do everything and they say, "Freeze!" And you do something, say, "Freeze!" And they're too grown up to play that game with me anymore now. You know, when we're eating at the table and then your food is almost in your mouth, my daughter would say, "Freeze!" And then you do like this. And she said, "Unfreeze me now!" You know, he looked at his priest and said, "Shut up! I'm talking, you are talking. Enough is enough. Just shut up." You know what we want to do tonight, this morning? We want to make some spirits that have been talking around you to shut up. Amen.
All right. Not only shut up, but get out in the name of Jesus. Look at those who know their God. They shall be strong and they shall do exploits. The reason we don't do what we need to do is because we don't know God like we ought to know God. If you really, really know God, Jesus. Oh, he says, shut up. The thing froze, but it kept shaking. He says, stop shaking in Jesus' name. Has never happened to it before. So God, what do I do to this thing? Maybe if he ever comes to the United States, I give him the microphone and I'll tell him to tell this testimony himself because it's sweeter in his mouth. And God said, don't do much. Just tell him to go back to whoever sent him. So God, where do I find that in scripture? I said, well, you remember in the time of the Old Testament, it was the king of Samaria that was invaded in the time of Elisha. And Elisha was so afraid. Elisha's servant was so afraid. And he said, daddy, 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 look at them. The man of God said, why are you afraid? Said God, open his eyes. Let him see. And then he saw that they were surrounded by fire. Said, he that is with us is greater than he that is with them. He said, let them come, let them come, let them come. You know, people, I don't know why God is putting this in our way this morning. But this week is a week to use your authority. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is some things are going to happen in your life this week that you have to use your God-given authority to decree a thing and it shall be established. The man of God looked at the multitude and said, blindness, blindness. He said, Lord, strike them with blindness. And so they all came. They said, we're looking for the king. He said, you are? He said, follow me. I'll take you to where he is. So he took them inside Samaria. And when they got there, he said, God, open their eyes. So he opened their eyes and they say, oh my God, we're surrounded. How did we get here? Oh, God is going to dumbfound your enemies. He said, how did we get here? The king said, hey, daddy, can I smite? He said, no, 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 no. Feed them. Feed them. They must be hungry. So he fed them. After he fed them, you know what he said? He said, turn around. Turn around. Return to sender. Listen, folks. The brother said, all right, since I know what to do now, spirit, turn around. Go back to whoever sent you. But there's a problem with that spirit. Those of you from Africa, you know what I'm talking about. The problem with that spirit is when it is sent and it cannot accomplish what it is sent to do, then whoever sent it will have to be the recipient of what it is sent to do. So when he turned around, there's going to be some turning around this morning. When he turned around, I'm not saying that to encourage you. I'm telling you the truth. Some things are going that have been, some spirits that have been stationed around you for so long are just going to break up. There's going to be a severance. You know what they call a severance? There's going to be a severance and there's going to be a turnaround. And he turned around, ladies and gentlemen, and went back to the house of this man in the village called Odeda. That's the name of the village. This is not a story. This is something I know. He went back to the house of the owner and knocked the door. Now the voice had come back. Now the all that one had come back. And then he came and said, you did what I sent you to do? Mission impossible. Amen. He said, yay, mission impossible. That means I am the recipient. To cut a long story short, he beat him till he beat him to death. Literally. They woke up in the morning and found him dead. And those who were with him in that trade knew what had happened. And they then went to inquire who he sent that spirit to. And they found out he was a pastor. Now, if they send a spirit to you and it doesn't work, then you become Lord and ruler over them. Amen. So they came to, serious. They came to him and did obeisance to him. They wanted to worship him. They wanted to offer sacrifices to him. He said, no, I don't need no sacrifice. No, I don't need to do anything. All I want you to do is to surrender to Jesus. Because the one who did that is not because of some power that I have inside me like you think, but is the power of the living God. Because greater is he that is inside this body and inside this life than he that you are sending on around. If that does not work, everything else that you have is useless. And that was how he shook that town. They said he will never be able to establish a church there. He established several churches in the environment. Because of the power of God that was demonstrated. Everybody say, every evil power. Every evil power. Come on, shout it out. Every evil power. Every evil power. Working against my life.
return to sender. Open your mouth and pray that prayer right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Every evil power working against my life, I command you right now to return to whoever sent you in the mighty name of Jesus. I command you to go back where you came from. Every evil power and every evil personality working against my life, I command you to go back where you came from and return to sender in the mighty name of Jesus. Go back where you came from. There is no room for you in this place in the mighty name of Jesus. I command you to return to your place of origination in the mighty name of Jesus. Go back where you came from. Return where you came from in the mighty name of in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Hold it. I'm going to prove this to you for the next 15 minutes and then we'll close. Because all through the scriptures, you find this principle of the enemy being made to eat the food that he cooks. All over the scriptures. Let me show you what Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 16. Turn there with me in your Bible. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse number 6. 2 Thessalonians 1:6. Here is Paul the apostle here now, the one who wrote so much about love in the Corinthian epistle. Look at what he writes here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 6. This is beautiful. If you are there, say amen. Amen. Now let's read it together. Let's go. Seeing it is a righteous thing. Stop right there. It is a righteous thing. Returning things to sender is a righteous thing. There's absolutely nothing unrighteous about it. As long as you're not the one who originates it. As long as what you're saying is, take it back. Now, what happens when they take it back is between them and what they sent. Seeing, let's read it again. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to do what? To recompense what? To them that who? And that's it. It's a righteous thing for God Almighty to pay back. Everybody say pay back. And I believe this morning is payback time. All right? It's a righteous thing for God to pay them back. And he pays them back, the Bible says, with tribulation to them that trouble me. You know what I say as I walk around? If you don't want trouble, don't trouble me. All right? Say it loud and clear. Say, if you don't want trouble, don't trouble me. But if you trouble me, God shall trouble you. In the name of Jesus. He says it is a righteous thing. There's nothing unrighteous about it. With God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Now let's look at Psalm 37. Here was a man that knew a lot of trouble in his life. The psalmist. Psalm 37 verse 14 and verse 15. Psalm 37, 14 and 15. This is so good. 37, 14 and 15. The wicked. See, that's what they do all the time. Have drawn out the what? The sword. And what have they done else? They have bent their bow to cast down the poor and the needy. Oh, you see, I don't belong to that group. Well, look at the next group. And to slay such as be of what? Upright life. Conversation there is life. It's not just the words they say, it's a life they lead. Now let me read that again. The wicked, they have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and the needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Now look at verse 15. Let's read this together. Go. Their sword shall enter. Oh ho! And their bones. That's it. Their sword shall turn around. All right. As it pointed towards you, God will bend it backwards. It says it shall backfire. You know, when we pray in this place and we say backfire, 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 that's what we mean. It says the sword shall enter into their own heart. It shall backfire on them. And it shall affect them just like they wanted to affect you. Flip your Bibles a few pages backwards to Psalm 35. And let's look at what the psalmist says again in verse 7 and in verse 8. Psalm 35, verse 7 and verse 8. For without cause have they hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause
they have digged for my soul.
Look, I return to sender in verse 8. Let destruction come upon him at unawares, and let his net which he hath hid, what does he do? Catch himself into that very destruction. Let him fall. Did I hear an amen to that? That's what we call backfire. That's what we call return to sender. I am not digging any pit, friends. He is the one who dug the pit. I am not spreading any net. He is the one that spread the net. So, sir, Miss Digger, Mr. Net Spreader, fall into what you dug and be caught by the net that you spread. Can I hear an amen to that? Several years ago, I was preaching in the Bronx, trying to help people. It's amazing, people that you try to help are the ones that attack you. And we're having this revival, and I was preaching, and there was this lady sitting in the very back, to my left-hand side. And I was just enjoying my sermon, like I always do. But she sat in church, and she was throwing arrows at me. And many, many times that happens in church. You are preaching and somebody is in church, he may be sleeping, but he's actually throwing arrows. He may be opening the Bible, but he's actually throwing arrows. That comes with the territory of this job. But she threw arrows at me, but I never saw her. I was just minding my own business. But I had ushers right and left. And one of my ushers spotted her. So the usher standing there looking at me and opening the Bible and seemingly enjoying the sermon was actually praying inside. And say, God, oh God, oh God, the arrow she sent, give it back to her. The arrow she sent, give it back to her. Suddenly she fell down in the back. And I didn't know what happened. I thought, well, she must be anointed. It was after the service I knew what happened. She fell down and they carried her out. And when she was manifesting, I told you, I said, carry her out and go and pray for her. So after the service, this lady, born and raised in the USA, she's not an African, she's an American. This thing we're talking about is not an African thing. It's a thing that has embedded itself in the people of the world who don't know Jesus. So she came to me and said, Pastor, I'm very sorry for what happened. I said, what happened? I said, what happened? Then my usher came. And my usher said, I'll tell you what happened afterwards. And then she said, can you please send people to come to my house in Manhattan to come pray for me and break this thing off my life? And I said, God, even in church, someone will go and throw arrows at someone trying to help them. That goes with the territory. But you know what the Bible says? The pit that they digged or that they dug, they will fall into it themselves. The net that they spread, they will fall into it and be caught by it themselves. Can I hear a big amen to that? Let me tell you what I mean in 2 Timothy chapter 4 in verse 14. Paul the apostle was a man sent by God. But there was another man sent by the devil himself to fight against him, to make the work that God has given him difficult to accomplish. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 14, we read about a man called Alexander. Alexander. The Bible says in verse 14, Alexander, the what? The coppersmith.
You know what I love? I'm an African, all right? Anything that goes with Smith. You know what I'm talking about? Anything that goes with Smith. Coppersmith, goldsmith, ironsmith, anything Smith. Except that person really, really has a relationship with Jesus. They are connected to demonic forces. I had an uncle. He was the head of the Smiths. I'm telling you, he was the head of the Smiths. We will go into his shop and help him fan the fire that he uses to turn the iron. How many of you know what I'm talking about? So many of you. Are you Smith? But anyway, there was one we did with the leg. There's one we did with the hand. But this man was the most wicked man you've ever met. Deep. He was the one that called me in and said, this Bible that you are carrying around, let me show you power. He was the one I told you took that thing and shook it in my ears. And I said, you heard that? I said, yes, sir, I heard it. He said, come. And he took a knife and he hit me with a knife.
And rather than the knife cutting my flesh just swole up and came right back. He said, that is power. So when you hear Smith, don't mess around with it. I'm not talking here in the U.S., so I don't know much about Smith in the U.S. But in Jamaica, in St. Lucia, in Guyana, in Ghana, only Nigerian Smiths are free. He says, Alexander, the coppersmith. See, though the forces that are working against you, there's a name behind them. For yours, it may not be Alexander, but there's a name behind them. Paul the Apostle. You know, I laugh at some of our men of God who say nobody can hurt them. Nobody can do them harm. Nobody can do them evil. Well, Alexander the coppersmith, Paul said, what did he say? Not just evil he did me. He did me much evil. Did me much evil. Much evil. But I ask him for more evil, because the Bible says if they smite you by the right cheek, turn the other also. Was that his reaction? No, he said, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. You know what he said after that? He said, the Lord will reward him according to his works. What are his works? Evil. So in other words, he'll get evil back. And if you go back to 1 Timothy 1:20, you will find out what actually this man did to Alexander and his co-conspirator in verse 20. So many commentators believe that the Alexander here is the same Alexander that he talked about in 2 Timothy chapter 4. All right? He said in verse 20, he said, of whom is Hymenaeus and who? Alexander. What did he do to Hymenaeus Alexander? He said, whom I have delivered unto Satan. He said, I delivered them unto Satan. For what? That they may learn not to blaspheme. That's why I say you will be doing them a favor. When you deal with them this way, there's a lesson that they will learn. You know what we're going to do today? We are going to teach some people some lessons. See, that was the lesson that Haman learned in the book of Esther. You talk about lesson. Turn with me to Esther chapter 9, chapter 5. And we're going to stay here, and then we'll close with prayer in a few minutes. In the book of Esther, we'll find a classic example of things that the enemy does backfiring against them. Things that the enemy will walk and plan together and think they've got it done, and God will undo them. And I'm believing God that whatever has been worked against you, God will undo them. In Esther chapter 5, we're going to read chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8, just one or maximum of two verses in each chapter. But let's, you know the story of how Haman just hated the Jews. And there was this guy called Mordecai who he hated most out of the Jews. And he said, you know what, if I can get rid of Mordecai, I will be all right. And you know what he did? Look at chapter 5 of Esther in verse 14. It was even his wife that counseled him. Incredibly. Then said Zeresh, his wife, and his friends unto him, that is unto Haman, let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high, and tomorrow speak thou unto the king that Mordecai be hanged thereon. Then go thou in merrily to the king into the banquet. And the thing pleased Haman, and it caused the gallows to be made. Now, according to him, Mordecai's days were numbered. So let's see what happened in chapter 6 and in verse 4. I wish I had the time to read all this. And the king said, who is in the court? Now Haman was coming to the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. You know what I believe God for? Everything they are prepared for you. They are the ones that will end up inside it. You didn't hear my prayer. You'll have said a bigger amen than that. I said, everything they are prepared for you, they are the ones that will swallow them in the name of Jesus. So said in chapter 7, in verse 9, things turned around. You have to read the whole chapter to understand what happened. But things turned around, and it ended up that the king was now angry with Haman. Haman. And in verse 9 of Esther chapter 7, and Habunah, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, Behold also the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king, standeth in the house of Haman. Then the king said, hang him thereon. You talk about something backfiring. Verse 10, so they hanged, and this is what I love here, so they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. Hold it, because chapter 8 in verse 7 even throws more light into this story. Look at it. Then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen and to Mordecai the Jew, behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman. Did you hear that? Something is about to be given to you. I'm serious. Something is about to be given to you. Something you didn't pray for. Something you didn't ask for. Something that under normal circumstances should not come your way. But because they made a mistake, and I'll show you the mistake in a minute, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they have hanged upon the gallows. Why? Why? You see the next statement? Because he laid his hand upon the Jews. Because he laid his hand upon the Jews. Many of you may not realize this. You don't mess with someone that has a covenant relationship with God. All right? Don't lay your mouth on them. Don't lay your hand on them. Don't lay your plans on them, because if you do, it will ultimately backfire on you. He said, because he laid his hands upon the Jews, not only is he hanged in the gallows that he built, everything that belonged to him is now for the Jews. Watch out in your life. Don't worry when they lay hands on you. Don't worry. When they lay their mouth on you, don't worry. Because that is the beginning of mighty blessing for your life. Because when this thing is all over, money that you never expected will come your way because he lay hands on you. All right? Promotion that you never expected will come your way because he lay hands on you. Spiritual promotion, physical promotion, material promotion. They were not expecting to. Can you imagine the house that Haman will be living, how nice it will be? Can you imagine the house that the Jews will be living, how bad it will be, and they inherited everything? But what is so interesting is this. I like this. The gallows where he was hung is in the house they gave them. If I were them, I would make it a tourist center. You want to see where my enemy hung? It's room C. It's closed, but for $50, I can show you. And I know Americans will line up with their cameras. I want to see. Can you see how God can turn things around where when you look as if you are the one that has lost, you end up becoming the one that has gained? I read a story this past week that shocked me. You know, it's not everything that happens in Iraq that you hear in the news. And it's always very good to read stories like this that you will never see on the 6 p.m. evening news. There was an Iraqi terrorist. This is so good. His name is Kai Rah Najet. Kai Rah Najet was a sworn enemy, not only of the United States, but of all the allied forces and the present Iraqi government. The story goes that he decided, this is so beautiful, to send a letter bomb to one of the officials so he can blow up in his face and so he can kill him. Listen to this. He sent the letter, and when it got to the post office, they didn't know there was a bomb in it. Unfortunately for him, there was not enough postage. This is so beautiful. I read this, I just cracked up. There was not enough postage on the letter. So when they saw it and weighed it, and the thing weighed a little bit. Maybe it was supposed to be $3.70. He put 37 cents on it. You know what they simply did at the post office? You know that stamp? They just put return to sender. Additional postage required. Additional postage required. This
Bozo, when he got the letter, he did not even look at where it came from. You know how sometimes a letter comes to your house and you look at the who it is addressed to. But this time he just opened it and looked at it from behind. Your enemy will make mistake this morning. Make mistake. God will ambush them. God will ambush them. God will ambush them. That when they think they are smart, when they think they are wise, they will commit costly mistakes. Because if you had looked at the letter the way you look at, this is an envelope right here. Pastor's appreciation there. I might as well put this in the pocket. But here is a letter here. Normally you will look at who it is addressed to, right? And if you had seen that it was a letter he sent out, he would have put the additional stamp. But God, who had mercy? Who had mercy? That letter was addressed to somebody. Up till today, he may not even know he was the one it was addressed to. But somehow, without his knowledge, God fought for him. Oh, by the grace of God, God will fight for you. Whether you see it or you don't see it, whether you know it or you don't know it, God will go behind your back and fight your battles for you in the name of Jesus. That's why I told you, look, even if you don't know what to thank God for, just thank God anyway. Because the thing about God is he will never tell you how many things he does for you that you have no idea of. So the man got the letter, and instead of looking to whom it was addressed, he opened it from the back. And what was supposed to kill his enemy ended up blowing up in his face. And from the story that I read, this is even funny. It said he came back with return to sender stamped on it. And then the story says, you've guessed it. He opened it and said, this is funny, a fond farewell to his face. Because the thing blew up his whole face and it bled. Why? Because whatsoever a man soweth, that also shall he reap. Why don't you stand on your feet this morning and let's thank God for his mercies that endureth forever. Come on. Say, Lord, I thank you that you're fighting my battles for me. Even when I don't know about it, even when I don't see it, even when I have no idea what you're doing, I know you're doing something about my situation. Come on, raise your hand up and say, Lord, I praise you. Say, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I worship you. Say, Lord, I adore you because you're fighting my battles for me in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for what I see and for what I don't see, for the battles that you are fighting for me, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Only God knows how many bombs have blown up in their faces. Glory be to God. I thank you and I worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father, I thank you. I praise you. I worship you for your hand upon my life. I thank you for fighting my battles for me, Jesus. I thank you, oh Lord God. Oh my God, for not even letting me know many things that demonic terrorists do against my life, that assassins do against my life. Oh God, you blow them up, even with the weapons that they send against me. Oh God, I give you the praise. I give you the glory for it. I give you the honor, I give you the dominion, I give you the majesty for fighting my battles for me, oh God. Yes, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. I want you to see every curse, see every hex, see every jinx walking against my life. Return to sender. Open your mouth and decree right now in the name of Jesus. Every curse, every hex, every jinx, every power, every wickedness working against my life, I command you to leave me alone now and return where you came from in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Every curse, every hex, every jinx, every curse, every hex, every jinx working against my life, I command you to return where you came from in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Every curse, every hex, every jinx walking against my life, get back and return to sender right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Every curse, every hex, every jinx walking against my life.
I command you to return where you came from in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Every curse, every hex, every jinx walking against my life, I command you to get back and return. Return where you came from. Come on, people, pray. I am not a candidate for curses. I am not a candidate for hexes. I am not a candidate for jinxes. So every curse, every hex, every jinx walking against my life, I command you to go back where you came from. I command you to return to your senders in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Every curse, every hex, every jinx walking against my life, return in the name of Jesus. Leave me alone and go back where you came from. Leave me alone right now and go back where you came from in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Come on, go back where you came from. Come on, go back to your senders in the mighty name of Jesus. Every hex, every jinx, every arrow, I command you to go back where you came from. Every hex, every jinx, every curse walking against my life, return to your senders in the name of Jesus. I'm not interested in you. I have no companionship with you. Go back where you came from in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh Lord, send them back. In Jesus' name we pray. I want us to pray against automatic failure this morning. Automatic failure. Many of you have experienced this in your life. It's like something has been set in place. You almost get there and something must happen. You almost get this, it's like it's automatic. You get to this point, something must happen to stop it. Something must happen to stop it. I want us to decree this morning that every curse of automatic failure will backfire. All right? It will backfire with fire. It will backfire with shame. It will backfire with destruction in the name of Jesus. Say, every curse of automatic failure walking against my life, backfire with fire, backfire with shame, backfire with destruction. Open your mouth and pray that prayer in the mighty name of Jesus. Every curse of automatic failure walking against my life, I command you to backfire right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Every curse of automatic failure, I command you to come to an end and backfire this morning in the name of Jesus. Hey. Come on, open your mouth and pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Every curse, automatic failure, come on. Backfire this morning in the name of Jesus. 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 Every curse of automatic failure, I will command you to backfire. I will not fail. Hallelujah. Backfire. In the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Everybody say, I refuse to be embarrassed. When you dream dreams and you find yourself naked, it's the manipulation of embarrassment that has been sent against your life. You have dreams and you're trying to dress and you're in the open, or you're half dressed and you're trying to cover yourself. It's a curse of embarrassment. Say, I refuse to be embarrassed. Say, I shall not be embarrassed. Say, my enemy shall be embarrassed in my place. Say, every plan to embarrass my life, backfire! Open your mouth and pray that prayer in the mighty name of Jesus. every plan to embarrass my life, I command it to backfire right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Every plan to embarrass my life, backfire, 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 backfire. Fire now in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I want you to look at me this morning because the next prayer I want to give you is very serious. Just this last week, Thursday to be specific, there was a news that broke about a man, a great man of God in Colorado Springs. His name is Reverend Haggard. He's a man that God has his hands on, really done much for the kingdom of God. We've tried to even go to his church to see what he does, how he does it, because he has a 14,000 member church. He's ahead of all the evangelicals in the United States. And on Thursday, one man came up, Mike Jones is his name, and he said he's homosexual, and that this man has come to him to buy drugs and have some homosexual dealings with him. And when they asked the pastor, he said, most of what Jones said is true. It's easy to throw stones at Haggard because what he did is wrong. But then I don't know why they did this. They played a clip of one of his sermons that I saw on TV. In the sermon, Mr. Haggard said, every one of us has demons assigned to us to destroy what God wants to do through us. Only God knows the demons that pursued him until he fell. And now they dismissed him disgracefully. He has no job. Here is a man married with 5 children. They messed up with his destiny. We're going to decree this morning that every demon that have been assigned against you, and these demons don't stop until they finish you, but they must return to sender. I wanted to pray this prayer as if your life depends on it. Some of you have businesses that can make multi-billion dollars, but demons say no. Many of you should have been married long time. Many of you should have been healed long time. Many of you should have had this and had that long time, but this assigned strong man, but like Joshua said, sun stop, moon stop, this thing must stop. Amen. Say every demonic power stationed around my life to destroy my destiny, return to sender. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray that you will look at me this afternoon, oh God. Every demonic power station around my life, every demonic spirit station around my life, to pull me down, to destroy me. Oh Lord, every demon that has been stationed around my life, to destroy my destiny, to stop me from getting where I need to get to bring disgrace into my life. Oh Lord, return them where they come from. Return them to their senders, in the mighty name of Jesus. Return them to the ascenders this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Every demonic power, Lord, station around my life to bring me down, station around my life to pull me down, station around my life to destroy my testimony, oh God, return them to sender this morning. Return them to where they came from this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. I refuse to be destroyed. I refuse to be disgraced in the mighty name of Jesus. Please pray. Every evil plan, every evil demonic force, return where you came from. Hallelujah. Hey, return where you came from this morning. In Jesus mighty name we pray. Pursue you until they find a weak time. the strike. Say, I shall not be struck. I didn't hear you. Loud and clear. The weapons of all strikers must backfire. The weapons they use must strike them back. In the mighty name of Jesus. I want us to go against clinical curses and medical curses this morning. That every clinical curse and every medical curse working against your life, they must backfire. See, every clinical curse, every medical curse working against my body, backfire! I return to sender. Open your mouth and get your good healing and health this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Every sickness in my body, go back where you came from. Every disease in my organs, go back where you came from. In the mighty name of Jesus. From the top of my head to the soles of my feet, I cleanse myself. I sanitize. Hallelujah. Return where you came from. My body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. You shall not defile this temple. The Bible says anything and anyone that defiles the temple shall be destroyed. Ekomoda, go back where you came from. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, I decree this afternoon that the anointing to use the authority that you have given us, let it fall upon every one of us. May we never be afraid to bind. May we never be afraid to loose. May we never be afraid to decree a thing. And may we never doubt that it shall be established. I pray that your strength will be upon everyone. I pray that your grace will be upon everyone. That as we leave this place today, we will stand like Joshua stood. And whatever needs to bring God's glory down, we'll have enough faith to believe it. I pray for everyone in this room this afternoon that they will stand on the word of God, that anyone that stands against them shall fall for their sakes. Let there be a reversal. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Look at me here. Mordecai could have hung in the gallows of Haman because of his relationship with the God of heaven. It became impossible. See, there's nothing like having a relationship with this God of heaven. It guarantees you a lot of things. And one of the things it guarantees you is that he will fight your battles for you and protect you when you don't even realize that is protecting you. I don't know if there's anyone in this room this morning who are saying, Bishop, I want to surrender my life to that God of heaven so that he will be my God. He will be my master. He will be my savior. Why don't you come down through this aisle and let me pray with you. Let me pray for you. Don't hesitate. Please come. Please come. The umbrella of God's protection will come upon your life as you do it. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else coming? Saying, Bishop, just pray for me. Anyone else this morning? I want to totally. This God of heaven is worthy. Worthy of being my God. Worthy of being my Savior. Worthy of being my Lord. Anyone else this morning? Come on. Don't be bashful. Come on. God bless you as you come. Give them a big hand as you come, will you? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All to Jesus, I surrender. All to him, I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. Anyone else this morning saying, Bishop, this God that can turn things around, I want him to be my God. I used to have a pastor that worked for me. His stepmother, everybody say stepmother. There are good stepmothers and there are good stepmothers. His stepmother cooked rice for him. and put poison in it so as to kill him. Fortunately for him, on his way from school, he saw some people playing soccer. So he joined them, and they were there playing soccer. And the son of this woman got home first, and she ate the rice and gave the rice to their dog. When this young man came back home, he was mad. He said, "Why did you eat my rice?" He said, "Well, it's my mom that cooked it. Your own mom didn't cook you any rice." He didn't know he had poison. Before the day was over, he died. And before the day was over, his dog died. And then the mother, rolling on the floor, said, "Look at what I did to myself. Look at what I did to myself. He is the one that's supposed to die, but my son is the one that ended up dying." That's God. That's God. Don't you know it's worth surrendering your life to that God? Don't you know it's worth surrendering your life to that God? Because he will watch over you. He will keep you. He will protect you. And these men and women, glory to God, have made that choice. Why don't you come? If you want to join them, make that choice. You'll never regret it. You'll never regret it. My God, everybody, why don't you help me stand as we pray for them? Hallelujah. That God will make this that they have done today to be a reality in the name of Jesus. You know, people come out like this, but they never change. But are these men and women, it will go in the calendar of their lives that it was today that they met the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And as you leave this place, a divine umbrella will be upon your life. I want all of you that are standing here and everybody in the congregation to please pray this prayers after me. I want you to say, "Father, say in the name of Jesus, say I come before you this day because I know you are the all-powerful God. You are the one that delivers. You are the one that rescues. You are the one that repairs people's lives. I've seen it in the scriptures. I want it in my own life." Say, "But I realize without a relationship with you, nothing is guaranteed. So I pray this afternoon, come into my heart, come into my life, forgive me my sins, wash them clean, give me the grace to be your good books by the blood of Jesus. And by your power, I will live for you from this day in Jesus' name." Father God, I thank you because you said whosoever comes, you will in no wise cast out. No matter what they have done, it's nothing compared to what Jesus has done. So I pray that the blood of Jesus will cleanse them, will wash them, will purge them, will purify them, that you give them the grace to go and sin no more. And I pray that the umbrella of divine protection from evil will be upon them from today, that you will surround them as a shield all the days of their lives. I thank you, Father, for the answer right now. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Everybody give them a big hand. Give them a big hand. Do me a favor. The ushers will give you